Thanks for listening to Ace on the House on Podcast One.
Hey, my name is James Petragallo.
I'm Jimmy Wissman.
Please join us every single Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
So fun.
You like sports?
You don't have to.
Let's just set up a context and find out what an idiot did wrong. What
I
do
like
you say?
It. I'm in.
We're going to do that each and every week. We take an athlete, we break him down, we make fun of everything he's ever done.
Yeah. But in order to do that, we have to build up and tell you all about their career and get you to what, James?
To grace.
That's
and then
right.
Watch them fall from grace.
Who
as they inevitably
like that?
Do. Join us. Big criminals, small criminals, sports you've never heard of, doesn't matter. It's the crime, it's the comedy, it's such a good time. Join us every Tuesday for Crime in Sports.
You can join us every Tuesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app, or subscribe on all Apple products.
Find us every Tuesday and laugh at people.
This is Corolla Digital.
Taking calls, home improvement tips, straight from the Ace Man's lips to those in need. They cover it all, A to Z, roof to basement and in between. Raise on the ladder and Ace got the hammer. Fixing your trouble with hilarious banter. So send your emails to the Postal and Punisher. With his old buddy Ray, it's Ace on the House.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on, man. Get on and welcome to Ace on the House. Pops Corolla knows it is Ace on the Roof. I'm Adam Corolla. It's Ray Oldhofer over there, man.
Hello, Adam.
What's going on, man?
I'm good, man.
Driving a Prius.
Yeah.
Street clothes. What's gotten into you?
I'm a changed man.
Are you working on any projects?
Few. Worked on, oh my God, leaking window. Leaking window. Tough one. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because fixed window and 2 foot by 12 feet.
Hold on. Fixed, no slide, no open, no anything.
No, nothing.
In a way, that's better because you can throw everything at it and not worry about having to have the action.
A little bit better, but then you have to figure out why it's effing leaking. And
two
that took
foot
me.
By 12 foot.
Yeah. 2 foot wide, 12 foot high.
And the outside is stucco?
Stucco and then all aluminum frame.
And so no stucco molding?
No stucco mold. Just straight ahead, super modern. I have a picture of it.
Uh-huh.
I'll give it to Matt.
And so what do you what are we doing? How are we fixing it?
Here's what happened. I couldn't figure it out, but the stucco was a little bit cracked, and then I thought they didn't put the paper, they didn't wrap it right with Tyvek or whatever.
Yeah.
So it only leaks from the bottom, obviously, because water goes down anyway. So what happened was they didn't shim the frame on the inside, so the frame went off. You know, it started to separate.
So the frame
within 45
that you do a rough opening.
Right.
And then your rough opening is usually about a half inch bigger all the way around.
Right.
And then you put the window in with shims.
Right.
And
not shimmed on the bottom.
Not shimmed on the bottom, just sitting on the sill.
So I think it's the weight that, no, because it was sitting there, but it had some air space.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So then I caulked that all the way around, and then I couldn't figure out where the leak was coming
what
from.
What kind of caulking is?
I used bituthane.
Bituthane caulk.
Yeah,
that's right.
They because
got everything
I wanted it to be waterproof.
Is that paint grade?
It doesn't matter. It didn't matter because it's all getting drywalled, so it doesn't need to be painted.
Oh,
but bituthane.
Wait a minute. You did the inside with bituthane?
Yeah. I didn't delve with the outside because then I would have to do the whole panel.
It seems like the outside is where you'd want to.
No.
All right. Would you do? Huh?
So I injected the bituthane into the crevice, and then it tightened up.
The walls open?
Yeah, inside.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And then outside, I got some colored caulking, and then I used clear on the 45s, ran the hose on it for 20 minutes, didn't leak, which was, thank God.
That's a lot of hose.
Trickle.
Actually.
Well, I've already done it once before, and then it wound up leaking again. So I had to fix it.
I did. I finally fixed my garden chairs.
No, how?
I bought a big roll of cloth that almost matched, and then cut it and glued it on with the silicone, like 100% silicone, like grafted on top, the part where Philly chewed up.
Yeah.
The edge, and it was good.
Did you put, like, that ribbon on it and everything?
No, I just kind of made it. But it actually kind of looks nice. We'll see if it holds up.
You got a picture?
Yeah, Gary's got pictures of it. I finally got this.
It doesn't look hacky?
It kind of looks like you meant to do it, actually, to tell you the truth. It's a darker blue, but it looks like an accent.
Like an accent? Okay.
Yeah, though it's one of these things that you tell me, Ray. This is why I like to bring this stuff up with Ray, because, you know, when you, our whole life is a series of telling, like, our whole life is, how do we fix this? You guys don't understand that it takes 25 years to just get the mindset of, like, how do you
approach? What's the right way to go about it?
Yeah. So I got a lawn chair, and the last 4 or 5 inches of where your feet go on these super expensive lawn chairs, my dog chewed up. He did it sort of sporadically. It looks like, you know, serrated at the end, tattered, what have you. The deeper cuts go in like 3-4 inches, but it's mainly just kind of tattered at the end. The comedy is
why didn't it stop?
When I'm saying to Lynette,
seconds.
Why do we spend $2,600 on lawn furniture? She said her answer was, I had to get the special stuff that Philly couldn't chew. I said, but you got the cloth stuff. Yeah, because Philly would chew.
Super bitchy.
Philly chewed the other material stuff up. And I'm like, it's got to be weird being me, right? Can you guys sympathize with being me for a second? I'm having a conversation going, we spent $2,500 on lawn chairs and the dog chewed them up. I had to get the special ones that the dogs couldn't chew, like metal ones or wood or something, but we got cloth, and then the dog. It's an interesting discussion to have. You needed to be there.
Hey, but, now, can you pop that out?
By the way, is there a ribbon in there? The beauty of being married is if you keep pursuing that angle, you're going to get yelled at, which is an interesting, it's an interesting approach to life. Like, if you want to circle back and get into this, there's going to be trouble. But the dog ate it, and then I had it, and then I went and bought cloth. Now, how would you fix this, Ray? I'm curious, because the thing, see, I don't. Here's what nobody understands, and it's my white man's burden. Everyone's like, just
who wrote it?
Tell. Huh?
Who wrote it? I'll give you $100.
I don't read a book.
Kipling.
All right, here's my point. Everyone's like, let's just hand it off to Rob and tell him to fix it. It's like, you don't get it. Rob doesn't. I tell Rob how to fix it, and then he can do the second one. But I can't just go, here, just fix it. Or I can, but it's going to be.
You're going to do it three times.
Expensive. So I decided. Now, this is. I got the sewing machine out. Tom sews at the other shop a little bit, but he's working on a car. So I said, all right, take the mesh out of the bottom of the chair. Take a cigarette lighter and burn off all the hairs, all the frayed stuff.
So it won't run.
Yeah, cauterize everything. Stretch it out on like a piece of plywood flat. Lay it out sort of taut and flat. Cut a piece of my new material that's obviously wider than the damage zone. And then I'm going to take the new material and I'm going to put 100% silicone caulk on it. And I'm going to spread it wire to wire, edge to edge with like a miniature notched trowel.
Okay.
And then I'm going to graft it onto the top. I'm just gonna take.
Did you
a
sandwich
spreader.
It? Did you do it on both sides?
No, I just said that wouldn't have been bad, but I just said I'm just gonna put it on top and I'm just gonna paste it down. And it's done pretty good. I was pretty. My whole thing was is like Rob was spreading it on and missing the long edge by a quarter inch. I was like, it's got to go off the edge. This silicone's got to be full edge. So when we smooth it on, There's no open edge.
You can't have that.
Yeah. Of course, later on, when they put theirs on, I could see it flapping up on the front edge, you know, where it's like, why? Oh, we didn't get it all the way to the edge, so I had to go.
I would have sandwiched it. Yeah. I would have sandwiched the whole thing.
And then I'd
clamp it. I would have clamped it and left it overnight like that.
Sandwich would work. And then a little later on, once I went and found...
So your fabric was solid. It wasn't that Neshi stuff.
Mine was kind of... Gary will show you the finished pictures. It was a meshy, kind of outdoorsy, you know, whatever.
That's good looking.
End up looking. It looks like a little dark stripe at the end of the blue. Whatever. And then we moved them back and...
No worse for wear.
Nah, it's like a...
Can you sit on the end?
Comically, a fat electrician was sitting on the edge sideways while one was just sitting in the middle before we got to bring it back. Like, literally, like, put every ass cheek and every ounce of weight right in the middle of it and then pivoted sideways so it could, like, put as much possible pressure on the center of it as whatever. And then... Yeah, Rob is just watching him sit there. I had a it's a weird life. I did have this.
Good job, by the way. I got to say, that's acceptable. It's
only took 2 years of my life. It was a great investment in my life. I don't think anyone in my house ever fully understands like what's going on when I have the you don't want me doing this. So let's try to avoid me doing this because I got to go on the road and make money. Like, no. You got a choice, old man. You can either do it yourself or you can throw it away. We don't care. So that'll be that. Such a weird thing because, like, I'm basically the goose that lays the golden eggs, but I also have to go mow the lawn, which is a weird thing. You want to protect the goose. That's what I'm saying. All right. So I did enact the fine. We are in the penalty phase of caulking tubes, by the way.
And what's that? If they don't put a seal on it, what is it?
Well,
what's the fine?
The fine is when everyone was done. Now I have had multiple and recent. The thing about. It's an interesting thing. I've had multiple conversations with Rob and Gary about when you're done with the 100% silicone caulk tube, you got to put the cap back on or put a nail in it. They come with a cap now.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah.
And you can even get the ones that have their like rubber, and if you pinch them, like you could put on your nipple and it'll stick.
Ooh.
So you can put those. They sell them now.
Well,
caps.
The caps come with the tubes now on the 100% silicone. And the thing that's comical about it is so anyway, they got done doing the chairs and then everyone's done and then everyone went their separate ways. And then there was the caulk gun with the 100% silicone and the goo oozing out of it and no cap. After long-winded lectures like the week before about, would you just put the fucking cap, when you're done, put the cap back on. You're not done if the cap, and they can't do it. So I just finally said, hey, listen, we're now in the fine zone. It's $100 to you, Rob, if I come in and I find this way. And also, I'm smart, because Rob's favorite activity is called... blame Gary, which is
yeah,
I told Gary to do the thing, and then I went to Mexico, and then when I came back, it was like this, and I'm like, so here's the deal, Rob, $100 for you, and also Rob, $50 if it's one of those Gary was using a caulking gun and I was over here, because if that's the case, then you got to come back and make sure Gary put the caulking gun away. So far, hasn't happened, but I do like this.
Oh, I thought they were already owing you money.
Here's one of my favorite aspects of life. I say, Rob, these things, don't they come with a cap? They come with a little plastic cap now. We just did 10 minutes outside why people can't put recycling in the recycling bucket and trash in the trash one because there's a flap on the trash can and that's a bridge too far. It's like when I open the fridge and I see the ketchup bottles with the pop-up cap up and the crust around things. Like, can't flap putting the cap back on. It's too tall an order. I cannot do this.
And not only do I put the cap on, I use my towel or whatever to wipe the tip off.
Yeah.
I hate seeing that schmutz that's dried on the end. I don't want to use it then.
So here's the comedy. The comedy is, I said, Rob, don't these things come with a cap now? Where's the cap? And it's like, and by the way, it's not like I said, hey, you need to spread this caulking on while you're being chased by a bear. It's like, we're just sitting here in a work area in the back of the shop. Like, pop the cap off, set it on the bench, use your caulking, then pop the cap. Like, I don't know, like you do with toothpaste or something. Like, it's like literally like the same area as toothpaste. Like, you're just standing at your sink. So I say to him, Rob, do these things come with caps? And he's like, I don't know if this one came with a cap. And I'm like, you bought extra ones, right? I always tell you, buy extra. He's like, yeah. And then I said, all right, let's go take a walk to the drawer where the extra ones are and open the drawer and the extra ones. And it's like two of the same brand with the cap on it, you know, came from the store with the cap. And then I hold up the one in the caulk gun that's oozing, and I go, same brand.
So it'll snap on.
Probably had a cap.
Yeah.
Came with it. And he's like, it may have. And I'm like, no, Rob, it did. It came with the cap. They all came with the cap. You guys got to go find the cap now that you like threw away or something.
Well, just use the cap for the one that hasn't been opened yet.
That's a good idea. But either way, I enacted the fine. And here's the saddest part. The saddest part is it'll never happen again now, which is weird. So me begging you to act like a human being for 3 years does not get it done. But as soon as there's $100 on the line, it's done. It's very weird. It's very, very weird to me, right? All right.
Wow.
But there's nothing worse than when...
Are you going to do it? Are you going to really enact that?
Or I will do
come
it.
Come Friday,
you're going to
go like...
I will do it because I want this to happen. That's why I'm going to do it. I can't have another conversation about
just not. I would do it just not to hear you yell at me.
You know the conversations I've had with many people in my life? Do you ever want to have this conversation again? No, I do not. Okay. Here's the way to prevent this from us ever having this conversation again. Stop doing this thing that you're doing or start doing what I'm asking you to do. All right. We got a call up there.
I'm wagering that you're not going to – I'm saying come Friday when you cut checks, you're going to make it like 25.
No, I didn't – the reason it's $100 is I didn't enact the fine. I said, Rob, from this day forth, I shall charge you. Because there's no amount of breath in my lungs that can ever, we cannot get around this. Evidently, it's an unsolvable problem because there's no amount of times I can talk to you about it. So how much shall I charge you if this ever happens again? And he said $100.
Oh, he can't. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's on him.
But if it ever happens again. Matt and Gary, let me ask you something that I've noticed with people. I don't have a set standard worth. Like, I don't just feel like, hey, man, I'm a great person, and then you can say whatever you want to say, and it'll never affect the way I feel about myself. I feel like mine is kind of floats around. Like, if I get enough people telling me I'm an asshole or unfunny or the show sucked, or I need to focus more, or I need to clean up after myself, or I need to talk to my kids more. Like, if I get enough of that, I will never just go, well, no, I'm up here, and you can just talk repeatedly about this other thing, but I'll always look at myself this way. I'm kind of a floating scale with me. I think there's a problem that some people have, which is they just go, here's who I am. And yeah, you brought up this thing 250,000 times to me, and I never do it, but it's got nothing to do with the way I feel about myself. You should start to feel badly about yourself if a person repeatedly, whether it's body odor or not putting caps on things, if you're told the same thing 275 times, you should adjust the way you feel about yourself, and that, I think, will aid in fixing the fixing of the problem. This is a new theory I'm having. I realized there's a handful of people that just feel a certain way about themselves, and it's like they're not embarrassed, humiliated, or anything about having the same conversation 250 times. My greatest fear is somebody coming up to me and going, remember last week I asked, you know, my greatest fear is I pull in the garage is empty, and I park in the middle of the garage, and then Lynette comes home and is trying to park her car, and I'm parked in the middle, and she comes in and goes, hey, man, could you not park in the middle of the garage because I'm coming home from the market, and I can't pull into the garage, in which case I would go, I just came home for a few minutes, but I guess our timing was bad. I didn't know where you were. But my greatest fear is 2 days later, I'm parked in the middle of the garage taking a nap, and then she comes in and goes, hey, didn't we just talk about this? Like, what are you doing? Like, that's my greatest fear. I'll never have that happen again. That's the way I go through life. Now, Ray, you don't have that.
Go put the fucking cap on the coffee.
I don't know anybody.
On, right?
I know a lot of people that don't have that. But it's freeing, right? Drew doesn't have it, right? Bruce doesn't have it. Ray doesn't have it. We could put together a list. I don't think Rob has it. It's a weird way to go through life.
The parking thing, I'm a fucking weirdo about that kind of shit, and I don't fuck up other people's stuff.
There's an interesting parking thing, which is some people come here and park, and they just sit. They just park right in the middle of the lot. Like, they don't
pull
up.
That's a weird thing.
They don't pull back. They don't tuck in. They just park in the middle of the lot, and they just, like, come in. And at some point, someone goes, hey, we need your keys because 8 people can't pull out. And they go, yeah, hold on. Here you go. And they throw you the keys. It's like,
that shit drives me nuts.
Doesn't feel weird? That doesn't feel weird. All right. Here we go. Will, 34, D.C. Will?
Adam, Ray, what's up?
What's going on, man?
Hey, so I had two things. I'm the veterinarian that called you a few weeks ago on the ACS show about Phil's seizures, and wanted to call and check and see how he's doing.
He's doing good. He's what's Phil doing? He does a couple of really weird things. The only person in the house he really listens to is Olga. Because Olga's from Guatemala. Well, there's two reasons.
She feeds him.
Two reasons. Yes. Half right. Two reasons. Olga's in the kitchen always working away, and she uses every part of the buffalo. She don't throw away a chicken bone without pulling all the gristle and fat and everything off it. And then she'll throw that to Phil. That's number one. Number two, if Phil gets caught with a flip-flop in his mouth, Olga puts her foot into his ribs. Like, Olga don't fuck around. Because she's from Guatemala. A dog's a dog in Guatemala. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Food.
So
right.
Phil's funny. Every night about 8 o'clock, he like hits his witching hour. He'll nap all day. He'll be plotching around all day. But around 8 o'clock, he hits his witching hour. And I'll be sitting at my computer, and he'll come over to me, and he'll get up on me, like both paws on me. And he does two moves. He looks at me. Then he does a weird stretch. Like, he goes, and he puts his chin all the way up. Then he looks at me for a while. Then he starts barking. Like, big bark, big 110-pounder. Like, jowls flying everywhere and slobber, you know. And he barks real hard, and he starts smacking me with his paw. And that means he wants me to chase him. He wants to tussle.
Activity.
He wants to get into it. He wants to wrestle. He only does it with me. He only does it at 8 o'clock at night. And then the thing that's funny is, Olga will always be in the kitchen, and at some point, she'll whistle. She'll go like, hey, Phil, and he'll be like mid-bark, he'll stop, and he'll turn his head, he'll like stop, and he'll go, huh? And then she'll whistle, Phil, and whistle, and he'll just pop down and go trotting, like he's called off, like immediately. Then he'll come back and do it again, but his health has been good. He's not had another seizure since we last spoke, Will. So I appreciate it.
What was it? Why seizure?
It's unclear why he's had the seizures yet. Everyone has a lot of cockamamie, full moon, diet,
right?
Blah blah blah.
My professional opinion was probably epilepsy. But we talked about that. Well, good. I'm glad to hear he's feeling better. I did have a question, a home improvement question for y'all if you had time.
Sure, man.
All right. So recently bought a house up here, up in D.C. So
winner!
And I had a shed put up in the backyard, like a tool shed. And I'm getting an electrician to run power out to it so I can charge some tools, put a light up out there, that stuff. But the guy's really good, but he speaks English about as well as your buddy Oswaldo. And so I've asked him several times how many breakers or how much wattage or whatever he's going to run out there or how much I should to run all the power that I need.
Amps.
I don't know if he understands what I'm asking because I can never get a real answer.
There's no ants down there. It's clear of ants.
Yeah, you don't have an ant problem. What are you planning on plugging in out there?
A shop light, maybe a chop saw and a grinder. I'm going to have like a heater out there because it's going to get cold, and my dog sleeps in the out there during the day. I don't want him to get too cold if it snows up here. But nothing huge, not like an AC unit or anything like that.
Yeah.
So like I said, the shop light, a few chargers to like charge up the batteries to my grills and stuff.
Yeah. All right. The light's nothing. The battery chargers are nothing. The heater's a little something. The chop saw is probably the biggest draw because it kind of kicks on. You know,
yeah, but he's still not drawing that much.
Still not drawing that much. So
it's
what?
It's not like you need 220 or anything.
No, a couple of 20 amp.
Yeah,
circuits.
Okay. That's it. Maybe three.
He says he's going to put a new sub panel. Which is a different a panel, I guess.
How many breakers are going to be on it, and how many amps is each breaker?
I don't know. He didn't say how many.
He's fine.
If he knows what he's doing, you're
going
to be fine.
Yeah, you're not. There's nothing special going on out there. You're not running a hydroponic pot farm or anything. You're fine.
Right.
You're good.
Okay.
You got it. He'll put the sub panel in. That's good. He'll put a couple of 20 amp breakers or something, and you'll be fine.
Good. Hey, Ray, two questions. Have you heard Adam do his impersonation of your mom, and is that exactly what she sounds like when she's bitching you out?
What the fuck are you talking about?
Ray, reenact the time you came in for breakfast. We came in for breakfast at like 11 in the morning, and your mom told you the kitchen was closed.
What did I do? I'm forgetting.
You spit on Ronnie's.
Oh, no. Rich's.
Rich's pancakes.
Ma, you got to make some for Adam. The kitchen is closed, Ray. It's 11 o'clock. Come on. Ma, we're hungry. We need to eat. We need to eat now. Rich, look at that roach crawling on the wall. Ma, now you got to make it because I'm eating Rich's. He won't eat it now. And Adam needs something, too.
Yeah.
You fucking kids! Okay. She made it.
You and Rich talking these days? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, a little bit.
Thanks,
well,
Will.
Why is that so funny?
I don't know.
You talking to Lauren?
A little bit.
All right. Talking to your dad?
A little bit.
Talking to your mom?
I try to...
Everybody a little bit.
I try to avoid...
I know.
I try to avoid the family members. Well, what's in it for me, right? Like, God's honest. Like, really? What is in it?
Hey, can I go over to Sunday football?
No.
You don't want to?
For you.
Okay.
No. Michael, 29. I'm trying to relax over there, right?
It's not for you.
Oklahoma, 29. What's going on?
Hey, I've got a home improvement question, but since we're talking about Ray, you should know, I've never laughed harder than when Adam tells the story about you asking your mom which guy's cock muscle was bigger or better or something like that.
Listen, it's something every kid needs to know. That's all.
I can't believe she earnestly answered.
If you guys tune into tomorrow's episode of Ace on the House featuring Ray and Stromer, you can hear about the time Ray tracked down the guy who took his mom's virginity and posed in a photo.
I have that.
That's an amazing story on tomorrow's show, so you guys can look forward to that.
You know that story?
No, I don't know that story. But
when
we
went to Germany, Mom Swan Song, she was passing. Three of us went, the brothers.
There's four. Aren't there four brothers?
Three of us went, though.
Right. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
So, anyway, it's how old are your kids, 11?
Mm-hmm.
11 years ago. Exactly, mm-hmm. to the date. Okay. So, went to Uttening, hung out with my uttening and
Where'd
all that
you go?
Kind of stuff. Uttening, where
her,
my mother grew
her
up.
Her village?
Yes, mm-hmm. her little village. And the gentleman who, you know, first took her virginity was in the village still. So I went and tracked him down with my mom.
Uh-huh.
He's married. And we took, like, a picture together, family photo, if you will.
You know, a couple things in terms of the history of
and they're
Ray.
They're all tiny, by the way.
The, how'd you track him down?
He was down the fucking block.
All right. Let me ask you this. The guy who invented primal scream therapy died the other day, somebody sent me. I know you found out that for my... I never want to know why. There's a lot of stuff I don't want to know. With in terms of like my family, I don't want to know anything.
I'll find out.
I don't want to know anything because it's never good.
That's a great story, by the way.
My family has no history of, you know, my dad going, well, I don't know if I was first runner-up for the Heisman or third or whatever. I didn't win, but I was definitely in the running. Like, there is no war stories. There's no history. There's basically my family history is people just going, I was super scared and I didn't know what to do. That's about the history of my dad is I was scared. I didn't know what to do. And the history of my mom is I was scared. I didn't leave the house. Like that's their history. There's no, oh boy, I had this Mercury chop top, the V8 in it. Like there's no stories of the time you punched out
car.
The bully. There's no cars. There's no anything. There's just I stayed home. I was scared. So I don't ask any questions because they're never good. I don't want to know where my mom met my stepdad because it's just what. It has to be something pathetic. It can't be, well...
I wanted to know.
I was base jumping, and we got up to the top of the Devil's Gorge, and there he was, standing there. Like, there's nothing
Eyes
good.
Eyes locked on.
Ray wants to know. So Ray found out they met in Primal Scream Therapy Encounter Group. Awesome.
Two of the wispiest, quietest people ever in the universe met at Primal Scream Therapy.
Ugh.
I'm like, what? Say that again.
They always have slept in separate bedrooms. I've never asked why they slept in separate bedrooms.
Maybe it was for
bedrooms.
Communication. Get me a glass of water.
Oh, they're used to screaming. Yeah.
See?
There's that. There's the time a guy hit me with a baseball bat in a street fight, and Ray tracked that guy down.
Fuck yeah, I did.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
Now, what is your tell me your version of that story, Ray.
Well, you had just had surgery on your knee.
Yeah, and I was got in a street fight, and a guy hit me with a baseball bat.
Yeah. And then the knee. And then you came home to your apartment that you shared with, like, 9 other dudes. I was there with our other buddy, Chris, and you walked in gimping and a little tussled, and we went, like, what happened to you? And you told the story, and then Chris and I just, like, we flipped out. We go, let's go. We know where the house is. They're still there.
Right.
Let's get going.
I remember that.
We got to getting, and we ran into the group.
Yeah, but you're not telling the part where you tracked down the guy. Ray, I said you tracked down the guy hit me with the baseball bat.
So we were at a
party.
You're
not telling that story.
We were at a party.
How much later?
About a year.
It seems like it was a while. It was
time.
A while later, yeah.
But I always remember his name, and I always remembered, like, I need to find this guy. And I would ask around about him periodically because I knew, like, we had some kind of cross-section of friends. So, anyway, we were at this party, and I'm talking to this guy, and I go, what's your name? He goes, I'm Terry. I go, Terry? Terry what? Tells me his last name. I go, oh, come here. I need to talk to you. And I grab him by the arm, and I can't find Adam. And then I finally find Adam, and he opens the door, and he's in the bathroom with some girl, and I go, Adam, this is Terry. This is the dude who hit you with a bat. What do you want to do with him? And you let him go.
I was in the bathroom with a girl. We walked out to the backyard, as I remember. And we, like, stood there. And he was very repentant, is what he was.
Yeah. He wasn't bad. I mean,
he was begging for mercy. And then I had, like, a boner, so we just let him go. I talked to the guy years later. He said he's a commercial He's a private pilot.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah. He didn't have much. He didn't really want to talk about the incident that much because I don't think it looked good for him hitting a dude with a baseball bat in the street.
It wouldn't be good for it, yeah.
From behind.
Nah, not nice.
Not nice.
Wow. That's what freaked me out, though. Like, the blatant, you know, how do you do that to someone? Like, we've been in plenty of scuffles and all that. I've never kicked anybody when they were down. I've never, like, really...
Yeah.
You know, I can't do that. That's not my makeup.
I'm with you. No, I
but
told
to
him...
But to hit you with a bat from the blind side in your knee that you just had surgery on.
I told him I had surgery on my knee, so he hit me with a bat in my knee. It was awesome.
How do you do that?
I don't know how people are wired. Sad. But to me, scarier person, the guy doesn't put the cap on the caulking thing.
Really?
Well, right. If I told Terry 175 times, please, no more with the bat and the knee, I think eventually he'd stop. Then I'd have to start docking him. Hey, Michael, go ahead and ask your question.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Love you guys. So I'm looking at my backyard fence, and I've got this, like, 6-inch-high piece of metal at the bottom of part of the fence, like some kind of support thing, and it's been peeling off a little bit, and it's got super sharp edges, and I didn't realize that until my dog ran into it and cut himself down to the bone. So I'm wondering, is there some kind of tape or glue or something that can withstand weather and can stick itself to a wood fence that I can get the edges of this support thing back up firmly against the fence?
I'm trying to picture what this support thing is. It's a wood fence, like a dog-eared redwood fence?
Yeah, regular wood fence in the backyard. And in the corner, I have this little garden area with, like, soil and stuff. And so the previous homeowners, it's at the bottom of the fence, and it runs about 20 feet long, which is how long the garden area is, and it's about 6 inches high, and the color of it is like silver.
And so it's gal.
It's galvanized? Is it round or square, or what shape is it?
It's square, like it's got a firm edge, like a rectangle edge.
And
is it open on the top?
Is it tube?
No, it's like flat. It's like maybe like a couple millimeters thick.
And it's only on one side or both sides?
I'm not able to see.
I can't picture.
I think it's for rodents or something like that.
Oh, you mean it's thin.
It's a block.
It's like a rodent block, but it sticks up. You said it's up about 6 inches. It goes into the soil?
Yeah, it goes down into the soil. I'm out here right now.
It's for like gophers or something, right?
Yeah, I would imagine, because it's protecting the garden.
I'll take back the support thing because it's pretty flimsy.
Yeah, it's like sheet metal. That's what I was trying to picture.
Yeah, sheet metal.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. It's sheet metal, and the top got edgy.
The top it pitched away.
And you want to and it sliced your dog. Like you want to put something over the top, like so it's not sharp.
Yeah, like if it was inside, I would run just like tape over the entire top of it.
Yeah.
So there's no like way to come off.
What about taking it off?
I got thoughts. Well, here's another thought. If you just want to do the top, how bad is the top edge? How far down does it go?
Well, it comes off. What do you mean?
How bad is the top edge? And how far down does the problem go down?
It meets the ground. Adam.
Yeah, no, but as he said, all right, hold on. He originally said there's a support metal at the bottom of the thing. What's a support metal? It's a fucking piece of sheet metal that goes in the dirt.
Yeah.
Like, I got a fence, and the bottom rail, the support rail, is metal. It's like...
It's not a support rail.
You know the picture that's going in my head when you say I got a fence and I got a bottom support rail?
No, I speak, Michael. I understood what you were saying.
Jesus goddamn Christ.
Saddle.
It's the worst fucking description of... Okay. So listen, Michael.
Yes, sir.
Here's what I'd do. You ready? I think this will work. Go online. Go to, like, McMaster Car. You go to McMaster Car. They got everything. They got everything. And if you look under, like, extruded moldings or whatever, they'll have rubber molding that's like 3/4 inch black rubber with a slit in it, and you could literally just slide it on the top edge of that thing if you wanted to. We're looking for protection from the dog, right? Like, you couldn't. You're not going to put duct tape on it because the weather's going to hit it and it's going to peel off. Go to McMaster Car. Get a 40-foot piece of this rubber. I use it all the time when I'm doing race cars and stuff. They have all different plugs and molds and U-molds and all the kind of L's.
Do you glue it on then?
No. I think you can just push it down.
Yeah. That's a good idea.
You got me, Michael?
Beautiful. I'm going to listen back to this. I'm going to do exactly what you said, and I'm going to do your best.
Do my best. Go to you guys, go to McMaster Car. And you can find any kind of piece of molding, plugs, bung holes, fillers. I mean, they have everything, but for all
the stripping.
When you're building a race car, you can't believe how much weird little strippy, moldy, funky stuff you need, and it's all there. All right, I'll tell you about Geico. Everybody's got the to-do list. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance? You don't have to drop off anything, pick anything up. Just go to geico.com. 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on your auto insurance. So, once again, go to geico.com. Type in a little information. Spend a couple of minutes and see just how much you could be saving on your auto insurance. It is Geico. All right, we got a subfloor question here, Ray.
Cool.
Let's talk to Joe, 41, Atlanta. Joe?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Hi, Joe.
I got my upstairs hallway, my subfloor seems to be kind of warped or something. I don't know what's causing it, and should I be worried about it, and how big a deal is it to fix it?
Upstairs hallway.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is it next to a bathroom?
It's got to be some water getting in there somewhere.
No, it's like in front of, that's what I was thinking, but I'm not sure where it's coming from, because it's like in front of a bedroom door,
mm-hmm.
And it's like I step on it and I bounce up, you know?
What year's the house?
It's about a 98.
Uh-huh.
I think 97 or 98, something like that. But, I mean, it's not like a great construction. The guy just threw it up, I think, in the neighborhood, you know what I mean? It wasn't like
you got a carpet up there.
Carpet, yeah.
So when you jump up and down, if somebody's below that area downstairs, can you see any movement or anything else?
No. Why would you? Oh, you mean the whole thing's flexing?
Yeah.
No, he's talking about the subfloor being popped up.
I think it's just like the plywood under
But do you think it's like a 2 foot, you know, what's the framing like or whatever?
No. It's like people, the thing about subflooring, people do the same thing with subflooring that they do with waterproofing around the basement when they pour the basement. It's like, you got one fucking shot at this thing. Would you do it right? They're like, oh, we'll just get some 8-penny sinkers and the gun and shoot down a little, you know, half a little bit of this subfloor something. Half it'll go off the edge. It won't even be down the middle of the fucking thing.
No.
And then they throw the plywood down. They pop it with the nail gun, and they move on to the next house. And of course it pops.
Yeah.
Like, you got one shot at this. You put a bunch of subfloor adhesive down there and screw the fucking thing off, or get some ring shank nails or whatever it is. But you're not going to get another shot at it. Just like you're not going to get another shot at that basement waterproofing, and everyone's super shitty and casual with it.
And it's the exact opposite. I mean, because you only have, like, to what Adam's saying, I mean, especially with waterproofing, if it's getting backfilled and you didn't do it right, you're just a douche.
It's not that they didn't do it right. They just did it enough.
But they don't.
And it's like
a lot of times they don't even do it right.
Enough to hold for a couple of years, and then it's going to perpetually leak. So, Joe, you got a house that was 20 years old, and the guy, you know, we hear this all the time at the subfloor. They just, look, two of the nails didn't even hit the joist, you know what I mean? And the subfloor adhesive, the guy went off the edge in the middle and came back on again, you know, like he got off the road.
Yeah.
And now
so
you're
what do I do now, though?
Okay, so you got the carpet. It's kind of tough. I would look this up online. You can peel up the carpet. You can peel up the carpet. You can screw the thing off with a whole bunch of really good, you know, augury aggressive, like coarse thread screws.
Like deck screws or something? Or,
yeah, oh, like decky kind of screws.
Yeah, make sure the neck's knot doesn't have any thread in it. So when you suck it down, you're sucking the plywood down into
Make the neck three-quarters of nothing. Suck the thing down, and then call a carpet guy to come back and put the carpet, stretch the carpet, and get the carpet down.
Yeah, you know what? You can do it.
No.
You kind of can. I mean, I've done it numerous
times. Don't do it, Joe.
Why?
It's just get a carpet guy.
You need a hammer.
Charge you 2 hours to come in there and stretch it out, hook it up. It'll be done. Thanks,
Joe.
Thanks, Joe. All right. Tell you guys about LifeLock. Ah, by now you heard about the Equifax breach, man, affecting 143 million Americans. Thieves made off with names, birth dates, social security numbers, everything they need to open a credit card, get a loan or a mortgage in your name, ruin your good credit. Now, let's get some protections. Time to get LifeLock. I've got it. Lynette has it. The kids have it. If you have a social security number, you need LifeLock. Are you shopping online? My God, how much stuff do I get online? I never stop buying stuff online these days. Your information's out there. You need to look, it's before cars, you didn't need car insurance. Now there's cars, and it's a great mode of transportation. It's a time saver. It's everything. It's a money maker, but now you get car insurance. Well, that's what LifeLock is. For your identity, their proprietary technology detects a wide range of identity threats and alerts you if your info is being used, if there's a problem. Their U.S.-based identity restoration specialists will work to fix it. It's LifeLock, Matt.
No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses, but LifeLock can help you see more threats to your identity. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam. That's Adam for 10% off your LifeLock membership. Visit LifeLock.com. Save 10% now.
All right, screw John. He wanted to know if I was still flipping houses. I've never flipped houses. I just buy houses and fix them up, and at some point I move and I sell them, but I'm not a flipper, per se.
What's going down with your piece of property around the block from where you are now?
Lynette's over there now. She's got the rototill fired up.
Ah,
yeah, because it's planting season. Corn, we got to plant now, so the corn will come
you're
up
fertilized,
in March.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she's running that thing. I am. I got a meeting with the architect coming up. I'm going modular. I basically
modular meaning is going to be built elsewhere and then placed.
Yeah, it was kind of an interesting thing in terms of modular building. There's kind of a size ceiling. You know, like they can go up to 3,000 square foot or something like that. You know, they can't build you a modular mansion. You know what I mean?
Okay.
You can't build. Are you doing okay? Like I understand, or are you doing okay? Like keep talking. I don't know what you're saying.
I keep talking. Why not,
Gary? Could we try?
Yeah.
And when it comes to modular building, they can go up to like 3,000 square feet.
Right.
Yeah, but you build a modular mansion.
You can do. You can get it double.
They don't have the space or the whatever to do a modular mansion.
Okay, now I get it.
Okay, good. You were a better student than I was, right? Technically?
Yes.
Okay.
Still am. Kipling, motherfucker.
He was a better student than I was.
Who wasn't a better student than you?
That's a good question. Hey, I just checked the other day. I was 497 out of like 561.
A graduating class?
I figured at least 50 of those people ran away or died, right? Like,
let's hear about the modular.
Those included people who dropped out and were swept to sea, right? It wasn't like those people. They weren't people who hung out and tried. Like, our buddy Chris, you know, he dropped out. Like, that.
Yeah.
He was in that group, right? Of the 550 something? Yeah, he had to be.
Okay. Was he counted?
I had to be. That's what I'm saying. It's the class out of the potential. Anyway, they can build you.
I was third in the class.
No. Uh-huh. They can build you up. Do you know what your rank was?
No. How do you know what your rank is?
Because, later on when I made a TV show, we went back to the high school and pulled all the paperwork. That's why. Otherwise, I'd have no idea.
Why didn't you pull mine then? You were there.
I should have asked what your rank was. We'll try to write that down, Gary. We'll find out. We'll go to North Howard High Archives and figure out what your rank
is. Yeah, but I had 176 school teaching days. I had 115 absences. I mean, come on. I graduated. I went to school maybe a quarter of the time.
All right. So you can do three. Sorry. You can do like, so if you want to build a big house and you want to go modular, you build like 2-3,000 square foot pods, you know, mods or whatever. And then on site, you build the great room.
Okay.
But you build the big living room on site.
And then they both
and you like connect them somehow. So now that's how you get to 7,500 square feet.
That's awesome.
You feel me?
How big's your great room?
I haven't gotten to any of that yet. I think the whole place be about
so then just butt up and butt up.
That's the loose version of how you can get
all raised foundation.
A big
ton
house.
Of concrete work then.
Yeah, ton of concrete work.
That's going to be cool.
All right. And the modular stuff is not really much cheaper than just building a custom home, but it's a lot cleaner, a lot faster, and a lot of everything else.
I love when they show the panels. Like you'll see the actual walls, and they're on like a spindle, and they flip. Boom, 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 boom.
Imagine the electricians and everyone else being done before the place, before your walls, before the place leaves. You know what I mean? Like all the pipes and everything's in the wall. All right, this Friday. That is October 13th, Minneapolis Music Hall. Coming up, one-man show. Also this Saturday, the 14th, next day, Nashville Polk Theater. Come on out and say hi. An evening with me and Dennis Prager. That's November 29th in Brooklyn, King's Theater. Go out and see that. Live Corolla shows. Just go to adamcarolla.com for the live pod and say hi to Lynette over at Corolla Drinks. Ray, what do you got, man?
I got me on the Twitter, man, Ray Oldhofer. Follow me, please.
Follow Ray on the Twitter. Until next time, Adam Carolla for Ray Oldhofer saying mahalo.
Subscribe on iTunes or visit aceontheroof.com. This is Corolla Digital.